So we're going to be looking at today something very interesting. I believe it's more like a pastoral conversation. So I'm going to be teaching like a pastor. Of course, I am a pastor, actually. So I'm wondering, what are you talking about? But the kind of conversation today we're having is more like a pastoral conversation. So I'm going to be as open as possible. And we'll just have a good observation of this. And this that we're about to look at should inspire us to greater levels of commitment. So today, and probably next week, we're going to be looking at a wholly committed assembly. A wholly committed assembly. A congregation or an assembly that is completely devoted. You know, thoroughly dedicated. An assembly or a congregation or a church that is undivided in their goals and their loyalty to Christ and the vision of the church. Now, I'd like us to go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 18. And this is Jesus' words in himself. Jesus' words in himself. In fact, he was speaking to Peter. And he said, in verse 18, "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we see that we're going to be throwing some emphasis on "I will build my church." We're not going to look at Peter not as the rock. Actually, Peter is the rock, but he's not referring to Peter actually. But then he's talking about something that he's doing and that he is building his church. So we can say that there is a project that God is actively involved in. And that project is that he's building his church. He's not building a bank. Neither is he building a restaurant. Or is he building roads. But rather, he's involved in a building project. And that project is his church. Now the word "build" there is the word oikodomeo. It means to build, simply. To build or to raise a structure. More like we're going to erect a building. So what Jesus is doing in this day is the same thing. He has not changed this project. In fact, Kenneth Hagin, you know, brother Kenneth Hagin, as popularly called, we'll call him Dad Kenneth Hagin, but his signature name is brother, so we all call him brother, even though he's grandpa, great-grandpa, but his signature name is Brad Kenneth Hagin. So Brad Kenneth Hagin says that there is something that God is doing, is that he's building strong local churches who are taught to flow with the Spirit. And obviously, you can tell that even though it's a word of prophecy or an utterance, it is very consistent with what God is doing in His Word. So before you're asked, what do you think God is doing with you? Before you now say He's raising you up to build a bank or an apartment or a hospital, you must be first involved in the building project that He's involved in. And that is His church. Now, the strength of what He's doing is going to be seen in the conversation that we have today. The strength of what He's building is going to be seen in how committed the building or the people are. He's building strong local assemblies, committed to His mission and committed to His vision on the earth. So before you now start wondering, Lord, what are you doing with me? He's telling you first that there's a project that I have my hands involved in. Get involved, because that's what I'm doing. Get involved in that project, because that's what I'm doing. So, He's telling Peter, I will build my church. Now, like I said, the word building there is the word oikodomoio. It means to erect a structure. Now, we know that a structure is a compilation of bricks, right? So, you know, you put it, and you put it, and you put it, you put it, you raise it up to a level. And then you raise it up to another level. So when you have a building, what you have is a group of friends who are bricks, who come together, or who are put together. That's what happens. Now, I'd just like you to imagine this. Remember, He's building strong local churches. And I said, the strength of the local church is going to be seen in the commitments as well. Now, there are going to be other things that show strength, but then it's going to be seen in the commitment. People who are committed to what He's doing. Not fair weather people or spectators. No. Not occasional, you know, participants. No, they only show up on special occasions. Oh, today is Dance Sunday. Then you now see them with some baggy just moving like this. Say, hey, sir, where have you been all this while? Say, you know, I've been roaming, combing to and fro. Say, are you the devil? Not seasonal people. People who show up in certain seasons. That's not what He's doing. Not convenient supporters. That's not what He's doing. I mean, some people are convenient supporters. When it's all beautiful and grand, they're happy about it. When we are still grinding, it's too much, the meetings are every day prayer. You know, and those people are so disloyal people. I mean, you support teams. Huh? I had a friend, actually. He will never leave the team. Yeah, he never leaves the team. Like, he goes to watch the match and he knows the team will lose Porto. But he is still sitting there and he watches the match. Then watches highlights. No. That was just by the way. So, not people who are convenient. But when it's all fine, they are around. When it's not, see you later. No. The strength of a local church is that you're going to have people who are committed like the brick. How many of you want to be putting up a building structure? You have a salary and you raise the structure. You raise it to some level. You force, you gather things, then you raise it to some level. Then you start and say, wow. It's taking shape. Then you go and sleep. Then the very next day, you come back and 200 of the bricks are not there. See, why are they paying me? The 200 bricks, they have disappeared. They've gone somewhere only to come back in 1 year time. That's very impossible. Nobody wants to have a building and then you get up and there's no 20 are missing. The next time you come, you say, okay, maybe you are mentally unstable. So you put it back there. Then you come back again, another 59. I'm missing. Then you raise it up again, say, hey. Then you come back, 200. I'm missing. That's going to be serious, right? So, you're going to need to have people who know their place and they take their place and they are there forever. Okay, you want your house, you want to wake up and see that your brick, 2, 5, 7 brick, they are not there. Okay, you'll be happy, you'll be celebrating, say, God has done a wonderful thing. No. So, nobody is going to be very excited. And it's the same way Jesus is not excited when he sees that he's trying to raise his church, but then you're passive, occasional, situational. That's exactly how he feels. So today we're going to be exhausting something very important. Like I said, we're seeing a wholly committed assembly. You know, interestingly, people have deep-rooted commitments for many things except Jesus Christ. Like I said, a football club. Together, forever. No matter the losses, they can argue, defend, insult, and sometimes they will even be willing to fight with their fists because of their football team. You see them walking around and they have a jersey customized. Then they have the player's name behind the jersey. Huh? Such commitments. I asked somebody just interestingly and I said, why is your name called Chelsea? And she said, Pastor. She said that her father is a Chelsea fan. I'm not lying to you. Real life story. She's in the US now. She should be maybe 20 something now. Say, my father is a Chelsea fan. So I was afraid because you just so much love a team. Now look at how they sometimes go abonkle and all of that. But then you look at a team. Then you name your daughter after that team. What if the team goes on relegation? What if the team goes on relegation? You see, he's even begging. That means he so loves the team. So I'm wondering now, like, I was amazed. Why? My father is a strong Chelsea fan. Strong one. Daughter called Chelsea. That's commitment. 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 Take your seats. We're going to see more. I'm just going to talk to you today. So you find out that people are committed to such things except Jesus. Committed to certain artists, musical figures. You know, before you realize, you find out that they dress in a certain way. Then you say, where did you get your dressing inspiration from? Say, oh, Kardashian. You got it from Kim. But they are committed. They follow all their Facebook handles, WhatsApp, Instagram, Snapchat. They never miss out on anything. You say, I don't want to mention names because now I think I am on video. So if I mention names, they say that I'm mentioning names. Me too, I'm smart, you see. I don't mention. You mentioned Shatawale. I didn't mention anybody's name. But you see people saying, hi. What is that? See, people committed. Committed to political parties. Look at your father. You just check. You check. You see some. Have you seen your father? Committed. You know, they will see that the party is not helping the nation. But still, they will say that it's not really anything, you know. It's not anything. Oh, what have they done? But they know that something good is happening. The party is not helping. Say, oh, the president, small thing he does, they will complain. Committed, irrespective of the losses. Irrespective of the good things they do, they will never see. That's commitment. Commitment. Trying to find my shoe. Committed to certain brands. Say, I just want to wear only. So committed to any shoe. Okay. We can get it. Committed to certain cars. Committed to certain, you know, certain jewelries, type of jewelries. They love it. They are committed to it. You see, you are committed to something. You see? So you are saying, church is too much, but you wear it every day. And that's what you buy. You don't mind spending a lot of money on that particular thing to get it done. To have it, to possess it. I was thinking about it just when I was coming. I said, how can you work for 2 years and all your salary, you go to use it to buy something that consumes all the money you have been working for 2 years for? You see, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But because you are committed to getting that particular thing, I don't know what it is. You know what it is. So, you find out that people are committed to things except Jesus. You see them sleeping in church right now. But let the church close. Then you hear gist. You start hearing stories. Hey, are you the one that was sleeping in church? You find people gisting. You know, when you sit with your friend, you can gist from one gist topic to another gist topic, then to another gist. Then before you realize, 5 hours is gone. Yeah, you're just gisting. You are catching up. Say, girl, keep me posted. Catching up. Until it's prayer. 45 minutes is too long. Until it's church. 4 hours is too long. You start at what time? 10 a.m. What time do you close? 2 a.m. Hey! So you just be sitting down until that time. Are people committed? Committed to your academics. You spend hours on your books, which is good. Until it's Jesus Christ. You're committed to jobs. You find people committed to jobs. They will go whether they are well or not. Even when they are sick, you find them going. They will be sick. They will go to the job. They will go and work fully until they are sick on a Monday morning. I just have some small running diarrhea. You have some small, but if it was your work, you will go to work. Oh, I just had some headache. When I lie down, it stops. When I stand up, it comes. Until it's Jesus. Headache that when you lie down, it stops. So you find people committed to things. Until it's the church. Every day, when you get up, church, check what the person is doing. You see, he's committed to something. Wasting his life either on movies, on games, parties, girls. But he has a phone. So he just sits down and says, every day, you are talking about church. Is it not too much? He's committed to something. You check the number of hours he texts his girlfriend. That's a commitment. And Christ family, you need to hear me. We do not have to, take your seats. We do not have to compare what is happening in this day to the church that God is building with us. The church should only be compared to the Bible. We cannot compare the church with the world. And this church with other worldly places. So you find people committed to things. You realize you are committed to something. If you are committed to nothing, you'll be committed to sleep. And lazying about. That's also commitment. You are committed to sleeping and lazying about. That's also a kind of commitment. So everybody is committed to something. We're going to go through Acts quickly. Because sometimes you see that even we don't come to church every day. We come to church only on a Sunday. And in the previous days we're on evangelism. And then as time goes on, I believe we're going to have in-person midweek services. But then, it's just once in a week. Just once in a week. And when I look at it, I'm just so ashamed. Because it's very far from what the Bible teaches. It's very far. So Pastor, please, we pray every day, 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. That's okay. So maybe we can say we are also having some form or kind of biblical doctrinal pattern example. But then the church had something very interesting. Let's go to Acts. We'll do that quickly. Acts chapter 2. The early church had, rigorous commitment. And that's how, she saw the wonderful power and success. See Acts chapter 2 verse 41. We're going to do that pretty quickly. Acts chapter 2, verses 41. We're reading down to 46. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were unto them about 3,000 souls added. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking in the bread. The word steadfastly there is the word devotedly. They were committed to the teaching of God's word and to fellowship amongst the people. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Can we read together as a church? 1, 2, go. And they, continuing daily with one accord. Hold on. So, they had a culture of having to do something on a routine basis every single day. Every single day. Every single day. So, how is it that the church was able to grow and to do well, and they saw God in their lives amazingly? They were not selfish. They were not giving to their own ambitions. It's because they leaned on the apostles' doctrine, which is the teaching of God's word, and fellowship amongst the saints. And that's how they were able to do well. So on a daily basis, you find them going to church, having fellowships in their homes, teaching the word of God, praying. See Acts chapter 17. So it was a culture. If you're going to see the culture of how the church did well, is that they had a consistent attitude. We could call that consistency. And in that consistency, we see devotion or commitment. Acts 17 verses 11. Acts 17 verses 11. These were the people of Berea. And watch what these people are doing. Acts 17 verses 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were true. So the Berean people had a daily commitment. And that shows us also a culture that the church had. But except that they were more studious at keeping at reading the scriptures on a daily basis. So these things were done on a daily basis. See verse 17. Verse 17. This is Paul at Athens. You know, where he saw Athens stared with idolatry. And, you know, Bible says in verse 17, therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devoted persons. And in the market, daily. That's evangelism. When he got into Athens, there was something supernatural he did. And of course, it communicated commitment or devotion. He was there on a daily basis. He was there on a daily basis. He was there on a daily basis. He was there on a daily basis to check on his disciples. He was there on a daily basis to pray for them. He was there on a daily basis to ask them how they were faring. He was there on a daily basis to teach them the word of God. That's something beautiful. So, we're not supposed to mark the church and its activities against the world. The world was busy then. It's still busy today. But the word of God is timeless. So we're not going to say, you know, now, since the pastor employed me to become the assistant manager of this company, you see, now, looks like this kind of commitment, I really cannot meet it up again. So pastor, you know, I will just send you $2,000. Wow. Wow. How about your commitment to Jesus? So, there was something important is that they had a culture of being wholly devoted. Do we see that there? Wholly devoted. See Acts 19 verses number 6. This is Paul meeting a number of disciples. He laid hands upon them. The Holy Ghost came on them, verse 6, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, verse 7. And all the men were about 12, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, he spake evil of that. But spake evil of that. Way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing once in a week. No. Daily in the school of one Tyrannus. He was given to teaching his disciples daily. It shows the level of their commitment and how they were given to the mission and vision of Jesus Christ. And people of God, like I said, it should not change today. There should be that same spirit of commitment and devotion. And the church must fight for this commitment. As a pastor, that's why I'm teaching you. That's why I'm teaching you. That's why I'm teaching you. So you can have, or you can begin to grow in your commitment to Christ's vision and his mission. You know, in every church, there are types of members. Now, I've not pastored for long, right? We are not even a year yet. But then I think I've seen these four types of church members. So, as I teach, you're going to see yourself. You say, wait, he's talking about me now. I have to do something. It's your own diagnosis. Types of commitments. Different types of commitments. Somebody say, I hope you see your own inside. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you will see your own. To ask them, I hope you see your own. Huh? I hope you see your own. Number one, fair weather commitment. Fair weather commitment. Now, even if you are fair weather, like I've stated, that's why the teaching is there to grow you. Are you listening?
Great.
So I'm hoping that you're going to grow. So don't worry. You're going to grow into it. So, you know, the first kind of commitment is the fair weather commitment. And actually, this is by far the lowest form of commitment. No. Only committed when everything is fine. When there's money, they will come to church. When things are going well, they will come to church. They have a job, so they will come to church. If something should happen right now, now, how many of you get up to go somewhere you didn't want to go? And the wind just did, you didn't go again. I've been there. I want to go somewhere. I know I don't want to go. And then, wait, it has fallen in water. Say, is the weather at your place okay? Because you want, what is happening here? You know, is the weather, You know, yesterday I was going to prepare, and I said, hey, if you like rain, whatever, I'm still going to walk in the rain. Yes. So the kind of commitment, the people who are fair weather people, when the day is clear, they are going to be committed to Jesus and His church. Committed only when things are fine. Committed only when there's an air conditioning in the church. See, you know, that church, it's really hot, you know. At least a church should get some wisdom. They should know that we need air conditioning. We are sorry, ma. If you had met us in that building, where we were being cooked. Cooked nicely. You come out and you are boiling. But I seem to like that place. Funny enough. You see? Fair weather. They only show up. Choristers. Pastor, you know? I have some. One or two. I'm checking to see if I can come and sing. I have some one or two. So if it goes through, that means I'll come. But Pastor, if it doesn't go through there, I'll be out too. Only when the weather is what? Fair. A typical example of a fair weather fellow was Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 10. It says, Demas has forsaken me for the love of this present world. Sees the kind of lashes Paul took. He says, this one is not fair. I'm off, you know. They only want to know a pastor when, you know, he's popular. When it's, you know, good. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, people are people everywhere. So, they are committed to the church only when it's convenient. Did they wake up and there's an argument at home that they don't like, they will not come to church. Because the situation is not helping. That's the second kind of commitment we are going to. Situational commitment. So fair weather kind of people, only when it's good. Only. When it's to their own advantage. Is when they'll be committed to Jesus. Is when they'll be committed to His church. Fair weather commitment. We'll go to situational very soon. Are you first person? Are you the first? You have already diagnosed. You are number one. Or? Oh. We're not going to church today. That's why you know the strength of your church when it rains. I'm yet to see. Say, two lines. Hey, Lord God Almighty. Yehovah, Nanadoye Ohoda. Yeah, when it rains, you see the strength of your church. You say, church members, Yazoo. You know, fair weather. You know, I watched a video that touched me so much, and you know, a church was evacuated from a building, and you know, they gathered themselves, went to get a land, and the church members themselves were building the structure. How many of you saw that video? I sent it to you. Yeah. The church members themselves, they were carrying mortar and pistol. Mortar. You didn't get it, you see, because the only mortar you know is, and you see them carrying. I said, wow, Monday they were there, Tuesday, you know, the one that touched me so much, was, they were doing all their stuff and it began to rain. And they were in the rain. Building the church. See? Now, like, cement. His hair, cement doesn't touch it. How many of the sisters are going to, what do you call it? Carry mortar. And then the brothers will be mixing the mortar for them to come. Take your seat. Carrying the mortar and say, yes, next person. You know, the fair weather people are going to say that. Hey, this one, let me go away. I'll come back later. Only when it's good. Only when it's good. And I'm no fair weather fellow. Naturally, I don't know how to fair weather. If I like you, I like you. If I say I'll stand by you, I'm going to stand by you. They tell me, oh, you did this, you did that, you did that. It's not anything to me. I don't care about those things. Because I'm not a fair weather fellow. If I'm with you, I'm with you. That's all. If I'm not with you, I'm also not with you. Yes, I'm not standing between different places trying to move from one place to the other. No. Fair weather. Yes. So there are many people in the church who are fair weather people. They are fair weathered. There's a word like weathered people. They only are there when it's good, when it benefits them, when it's nice, when it's all cozy, they are there. May you not get a fair-weathered wife or a fair-weathered husband. They saw that you were driving a Jeep. That's why they liked you. The moment the Jeep is gone, you said, honey, you could buy them shawarma, pizza, you could buy them all of those things. It's no more. See? I knew it. The Lord spoke to me, but I didn't listen. Fair weather. I knew it. Wow. You knew it. But all the times you were taking all those things, you didn't know. Fair weather, people. That's how the church is. I don't think there's anybody who's fair weather here. I'm speaking in faith. Faith. A pastor speaks in faith most of the times. You call things that be not as though they are. That's how you speak. So there are no fair weather people here. You see, you are even saying that, hey, pastor. Pastor, I'm here. No. So, the next kind of commitment is situational friendship commitment. You know, situational friendship commitment. If the situation permits, what brought us together is a particular situation. And there's a typical example for these kind of people. That friend you met in school is situational. You used to click, but after, even vacation self, that's all. It's when you come back to campus again. But when you come back to campus, you are not fighting. No. Situation has brought you together again. So that's all. So there are also people who are situational. Their commitment is like that. Situation brings us together. So let's manage ourselves. Once the situation is no more, we are out of the place. I don't think Jesus wants anybody who is committed based on situations. there's a circumstance that binds us together. The guys have good situational friendships. Oh, would that be my party? But they've not heard from themselves for a very long time. And they are very okay. I mean, we are very okay. We know in our minds that the only thing that binds us together is when they tell us, do this. Apart from that, we don't have anything. Is your commitment situational? Ask yourself. Just ask yourself. Oh, you know, Pastor. Because we are in school, so I'm going to scatter some minds and I'm going to make you solid. Are you listening? See, because we are in school, that is why. But when I go home, oh, we are not. Christ Family is my school church. If situation permits. How many of you are like that? It's your school church. They will not. It's pastoral. So it's only based on situations. Situation brings it together. Then you enjoy yourself. When that situation is not there, you are gone. Situational kind of commitment. My friend is in the church. That is why. So if your friend goes, you are also gone. Your commitment is to your friend. That is what it means to be situational. Your commitment is to your friend. Your commitment is to your friend. Oh, when I just walk, I just enter the church. Situational. The reason why I come for Quarry Hess House is because it's not too far away. But the moment the situation does not permit. Situational. A circumstance that brings you together. You know, that church. Fine Girls Day. Situational. You go there, you go find somebody. But then, when you now enter, and all of us, we are boys. Then we say, there are kings. There are kingdoms. See, you know, all the guys are married. So you won't get husband there. Go to a church that you get husband. Say, revelation. Hey. Church members and their commitments. You know, one time, I saw a guy. He started coming to church. But, you know, there's a way you see someone. As a pastor, you see them naturally. Then there's a way you see another person, then you see something else. So I said, hey, this guy, the way you started coming to church, you have to, I need to know why. I want to understand why. So one time I was there, the guy now came and said that. And you know, there's a girl I like in your church. I said, uh-huh. And there are quite a number like that. And I don't play like that. If you know me, I'll just be saying, oh, I see, wow. That's the end of it. Oh, wow. Oh, hey, is that so? I see. Wow. Let's pray about it. Because it's situation. Why are you coming to church? Because you like somebody. And there are quite a number like that. One time I was speaking to my friend, he said, so you will not get a wife for me? I said, hey. I said, I'll get one for you. Because he was actually my very good friend. I said, I'll get one for you. Don't worry, just give me time. Let me pray about it. Then one day you say, so where's your church? You see, he wants to come. Then he wants to come and see you. That one, I like that one. Show me that one. Say, what do you think about that one? Say, she's really good. Okay, yes. So go for her. Say. So that means when we are done. Or I said, but she's supposed to come back to church here. Say, hey, it will really be somewhere. I said, it's supposed to be like that. You know, I can give out, I can agree when you are not very, when you talk about the last kind of commitment. But if you are there, we say, oh, thank you, Lord. Because as a pastor, I pray for your marriage too, that you should marry. Yes, I pray, Lord, give them husbands and give them wives. You see that? So, hey. I'm saying, Lord, give them husbands, good ones, so they can serve you together. Yeah. But you want situational. So some people's commitment are like that. It's only based on something. Yeah. So, man of God, your daughters are very fire and they love the Lord. And so, man of God, you need to do me. A lot of you, they've come to me like that. Man of God, your daughters are very, wow, the way they are trained. Say, wow, is that so? So yes, this it's very amazing. And you know, you have to do something. Do what? Situational. You want situational people. And those are situational. So when you see that, you are there, you receive an alert. It's situational money. It's based on a certain kind of situation. If they get it, that's all. They will say that, hey, you are not my responsibility, okay? Are you a situational member? I'm saying all of these things. So you put yourself there. What are you looking for in the church? Okay, if they come out and say, hey, everybody out! You say, pastor, we've closed the church. Tomorrow, we are not coming next week. Situational. Say, Lord, I refuse to serve you situationally. So, when you now come to school, you say, oh no, Christ Family is my school church. When I go home, maybe I don't serve Jesus. I don't really go to church. It's those people, they can worry you. They will tell you to come to church. That is why I go. If not, if they will be calling, first timers, they will call, hello, man. If you don't go, after that, I'm not going again. Situational. So, every pastor's vision, and of course, God's vision, is that we grow from these levels of commitment. Do you understand what I'm saying? We grow from these levels of commitment. And there are some people who serve God situationally. They are committed to Him. See, if there's a situation that brings that, That's why sometimes when somebody loses money, a resource, a loved one, you see that suddenly they start to like take God seriously. But over a period of time, it sort of dies out. Or it wears out. cries out. Because what made you emotional and what made you respond was a situation. Maybe you went to do something, it doesn't go well. Then you are committed for a while. You wanted a visa and they bounced you the first time. You say, then I'm going to really serve God. When this thing opens now, God, I'm done with you. When I get a job, I'm serving you because there's a situation at hand that needs to be dealt with. When everything turns out well, I'm going to be there. But we must grow in our commitments to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, we must grow in our commitment to God and to the church. I'm wondering how many of us carry the vision and mission of the church. How many of you want a situational pastor? When is there's a situation? Because I don't have a visa. But maybe I'm applying for visa, you don't know, you see. So when it enters now, you see that I'll come and say, the Spirit of God said that I should tell you people that I have to go. Yes, Miss Betty, I've made you the pastors of the new church. So, pastor the church. I'll come once a while, okay? I love you all. See, pastor, why are you going? Say, oh, the Lord, oh boy, situation. Huh? My commitment to you was situational. But that's how some church members are. It's based on something. The third type or kind of commitment, non-situational friendship type of commitment. Now at this level, of course, situations are not the reasons why we are here. The people are not moved any longer. They are not moved by offense. You know, sometimes people can get offended such that they just tell themselves that I'm leaving the church. That's how dangerous offense can be. Why? The sister doesn't talk to me. That brother doesn't talk to me. Or she has taken my girlfriend. She has taken my boyfriend. Not she has taken my girlfriend. She has taken my girlfriend is dangerous. She has taken my boyfriend. So why are you leaving? He broke my heart. Oh, so because the boy left you, see, why can't you come to church? You know, when I come, I see him around, so I don't really like that. I have to go to a place where I can see Jesus. There are people like that. It's situational, but we are looking at non-situational. So you see that a non-situational fellow is here. Yes, you've left me, but the church, we are not leaving the church. We are inside. You know, someone told me that, Pastor, I can't really stand it if he was going to wed. Like, she can't stand the wedding. Like, you people are amazing people. So you treat Jesus and leave because of the situation. But you find out that non-situational people, friendship kind of commitment, is not based on a particular situation that happens. The person is committed, irrespective of hurt, irrespective of offense. You see, it's not based on situation. My commitment is not based on situations. It's not based on distance. I've had people who left here, and because their commitment is non-situational. You know, one time I was speaking to someone, and I told the person, I said, you know, you're so far away. I'm your pastor. Find another church. Find another church. So that at least you can have somebody that sees you. And do you know what she said? Pastor, I want to say this to you. She said, no. It's not situational. I said, I see. It's not situational. I said, find another church. I told her one point, I said, I called her myself and I said, you know, I really love you, but I want to find another church. No. It's not situational. Me, I couldn't even say anything again. It's not situational. We are inside, whether situation or not, whether distance or not, whether hurt or not, whether offense or not. You know, some people can leave the church because people did not come to visit them when they didn't come to church for 2 weeks. That was all. They have left the church. I pray you don't find yourself in this space. See, pastor has not replied my call, my messages. I called him 2 times. He has not called. Oh, I'm sorry. You see, sometimes, you know, I am intentional. I sometimes sit down to reply text intentionally. Like I say, this is my working hours for replying text. But maybe he didn't get to your 10, you see. You see. Me, when I call people and they don't pick, I keep calling till I get them. I keep calling, not at the same instant. But you call. I call again and I call again. And I'm not offended. And one time I called a certain prophet. Call him. Then later on he called me. He said, hey, Osofu, you know this our work. I said, oh, I know our work. Huh? But you called me. I didn't think you were angry. I should show you my missed calls log. I mean, my call log. On the number of calls I miss in a day. Strange now, different. I don't even know where they are coming from. Then I should now sit down. Mm-hmm. Then the interesting thing, hello. Hello, yes. Hey. So, you know, those instances, I also go like, hey. But in my heart of hearts, I'm like, boy, I have things to study and I have things to do. Hey, pastor, yeah. So you know, those who know me very well, me when I make calls, guys, when I sit in the car, oh my God, you see, I'll be making calls from the start to the finish, calls from where I'm going to where, because when I sit down again, they'll keep coming like that. So, oh, how are you? But then I'm supposed to be praying. You see, as a pastor, of course, my responsibility is to the congregation. But sometimes there's a further important responsibility of study and prayer and preparation to have you in your state, the right state. I can't trade that for you. So when I'm praying, I can't pick your call. And I probably may not return it back. Learn this so that we'll all be fine. But then when you call again, I know, okay, that's quite an urgent issue. Sometimes some things are not urgent. Pastor, my disciple, no, listen to the my disciple. My disciple is running diarrhea. But now she's fine. She just ran 3 times. I'm like, oh, okay. How's she doing now? You know, how is she doing now? So somebody who is non-situational will not pick up on these things. There are many weddings I've not been able to attend. I don't like to say it, because on Saturdays I have things to do with the church. There was one yesterday, and you know, he sent me a message, touched me so much. He said, "Oh, I just didn't want to even get you." It doesn't mean I don't go. I go. But now, at the stage where we are as a church, I cannot be everywhere, because you are not mature enough to handle the things that are supposed to be handled. There's a time where you are going to be handling everything, and that's quite understandable. So don't allow situations become reasons why you walk out of the church. Pastor saw me, he didn't say hi. Sometimes I didn't even see you. Like, I'm watching you, but I'm not seeing you. I don't know if you understand. I'm looking at, but I'm not, my mind is on something. Now, why I'm teaching this is because it helps everyone. And I teach this on the pulpit. Everyone's going to be fine. Don't base your commitment to Jesus based on situations. Are you listening? So you're going to be that non-situational, committed fellow. You know, somebody just tells you that, hey, that church, they will make you pray. They will make you go to church. Huh? That's all your situation. The reason why you say, no, I don't like that prayer thing. You know, someone told me that it's too rigorous a responsibility. I said, yes, that's true. That's true. But wouldn't you do that for Jesus? And the person was like, yeah, it makes sense. It should make sense. How rigorous is it? So you find out that the situation, non-situational people, they are going to be there. Irrespective of whatever it is that happens, they are going to be there. I pray you become that member. Yes. Oh, you didn't say an amen.
Amen.
Conflict shouldn't take you away from the church. It shouldn't take you away from the church. You know, sometimes you just need to stay a bit longer. Those things are going to be resolved. There is no church where there is no conflict. There is no church where there is no conflict. I can tell you, go to any church. You are the people sitting here, I'm the one pastoring you. And people are people everywhere. There's no church without conflict. No church without misunderstanding. Except that in some churches they are suppressed because God's word has been taught over a period of time. And so the people are able to handle the situations that come. But there's no church without issues. There's no church without an issue. So when something happens, do not suddenly become situational. Your commitment should be non-situational. You see what God is doing and you see his vision for what he wants to accomplish. And that makes you a non-situational fellow. Oh, that church, they prophesy. That's why I go there. Okay, so what if prophecies stop coming? What if it stops coming? That's why the church, built on sharing bag of rice, giving TV, say Sunday of bag of rice, the place will be full. I'm telling you. You watch and see. You next week will try it. Yeah. Just tell the students that if you come, there's a bag of rice, a bag of oil, a carton of bitter malt. Then season, just give them a flyer. So that just come and see. You see that the whole place will be full. The whole place will be full. The whole place will be full. $100 service. It means that once you come, $100. How many of us are going to come early? Earlier than usual. $100. Ask your friend, do you know $100? Say, it can take care of your your small choppings, your fried rice and all of those things, it can take up all those small 30 CDs, 40 CDs, 50 CDs, 20 CDs, 80 CDs. Then one time you go for 1, 2, it can take all of that for some few days or some few weeks. We must move past situational commitment to non-situational commitment. It's not based on any situation. Is your commitment to your pastor situational or non-situational? Remember, what Jesus is doing is that he's building a committed church too as well. Now, are you here because your school fees are being paid?
Yes, they pay my school fees, that's why.
No, it shouldn't be so. Are you here because you're giving monthly stipends or you're giving money for school? What if it stops coming? Would you stop? See, that pastor is very good. He gives me money. Hey, he gives me... Is that why? Of course, those attitudes of kindness deepen commitments, but they shouldn't be the foundation on which those commitments should stand. They shouldn't be. Your commitment should be non-situational. It doesn't matter where I live. I'm still going to be some way somehow connected. I'm here, I'm going to make it. Every meeting, you're there. It shouldn't be based on situations. Take your Bibles. Let me show you something in 1 Samuel. This is a typical example of non-situational friendship, you know, expressed between Jonathan and David. 1 Samuel 20, verses 17. You know that some people, when they get married and they start to have children, that's the last time you see their commitment. They were in their choir because now they are married and they have a ring. They can't join the choir. The choir is for small boys. Say the truth. Is that not how you see the choir? The choir is for younger people. People who have a lot of nothing to do. I mean, people who have nothing to do. They don't have any job. That's why they are singing. When they start working, they will see what I'm talking about. That's wrong. You used to usher. But then now you have money. So when you enter, we should lie down for you. Situational. But we must progress into non-situational. Whether I have money or not, it's not based on money. It's also not based on who I know. Do you know who I am? It shouldn't be based on that. No, when we come to church as a church, everyone is the same. Whether the person is a carpenter, the person is a mason, The person is like, whatever. We put all those things aside. We put all those things aside. And we come together as a family. The person fries Kelly Willy. Doesn't matter. Non-situational. The church sent me things. That's why this church, I'll be with them forever. Situational. You must progress into non-situational. There's no reason why I'm here. I'm here because I believe in Jesus. I believe in what he's doing in this church. And I'm wholly committed to the church. Don't have your commitment based on situations. You must grow into non-situational commitments. So, you find out that Jonathan is saying something in 1 Samuel 20, verses 17. 20, verses 17. And Jonathan caused David to swear again. Because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. It's not because, David, I see something that you're going to become the next king. That's why I'm with you. No. I love you the way I love myself. I love you the way I love myself. It's not based on situations, David. No. Begin to ask yourself what kind of commitment you have. Because we're going to get into a much more intensified one at the latter. What is your commitment to God like? You know, some of us only pray when we feel like praying. That's quite a commitment. And then lastly, there is the final one, which I believe Jesus wants us to have as a church. It's a commitment that is likened to marriage. It's marital in its orientation. So to call that what you want to call it. Marital commitment. To the church. It is intensive. It's the highest level of commitment. You're committed to the vision as though you are married to it. As though you are married to the vision. You are committed to evangelism. As though you are married to it. Discipleship. Married to it. Prayer. Married to it. The activities of the local assembly. Married to it. There's a spirit of permanence. There's no, I'm tired. To the vision of Jesus. I'm tired. To evangelism. I'm tired. To discipleship. I'm tired. To this church conversation. I'm tired. I'm tired. Every day is one thing after the other. Now you're not going to say it with your mouth, but your heart is going to be saying it. I'm tired. One church, two, that you go, say, I'm tired. Marital commitment. It's the highest form of commitment. There's a spirit of permanence. Now we're looking at God's ideal prescription of marriage is that the two people become one, irrespective of the challenges that come, irrespective of the situations that come, irrespective of the discoveries. Irrespective of the conflicts. Irrespective of that. It is in this kind of commitment we are going to have fruits for the church. Real viable fruits that outlast many generations. Not today's kind of marriage where they say that. No. Hey, if he does anything, just leave. Oh boy, we also know what is going on. Me. Hey, a man should tell me what to do. Hey, any small thing with me, I'll leave. John, leave him and let's go. That's the world's prescription of our marriage. We are friends now. It's quite legal. But then, any least provocation, we're on our way. We're parted. We're together. Forever. Huh? And ever. Till death. The only thing that would come is when we are dead. The world's prescription of that today is, till any challenge comes, we are parted. Till I get to realize that you don't respect me, we are away. We're arguing. And I don't like the consistent argument. I'm tired of you. No. Forever. 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 You're not stealable. Your commitment is solid. You're not stealable. You know, you can be stolen by so many things. Stolen by opportunities. Stolen by money. Stolen by something. But that kind of commitment is, you're stuck at it. You don't have any option. You don't have anywhere. You don't have any decision else than to serve the Lord and to be in the church. And of course, I don't pastor every church. So I'm talking about this church. I don't pastor every church. And I want to work with people closely who are maritally committed. So that I can pour out my life into you. Because it takes a lot of time. Time is quite precious. Not that you're being trained for a short period of time. I spoke to someone sometime. God, you know, person was flowing, effective, you know. Then the person now went somewhere. They don't flow. They don't speak in tongues. I said, so why did I do all these things? And you're not going to use them. It's not like you're going to say, I'm going to teach other people. You're not using it. That means that you wasted my time. And that's why young girls, you have to be careful. Don't make commitments that you're not supposed to make. When somebody is not married to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, there are some parts that must be covered, preserved. For the one that commits themselves so much to having you. You don't just naked yourself because you seem to be in love. Then you make commitments. You make commitments that are not supposed to be made. Don't commit yourself to things that require a form, you know, of promise. That's why when you're well taught, you don't even expose your body, because you know it takes a certain level of commitment to see something that is not supposed to be available to everyone. So this kind of commitment is marital in its nature. It's quite deep to make. You must have this to his local church. Turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth. You are the love of my life. And you are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. Can we rise to our feet? I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my head. You are the love of my life. It's love of your life. See, when you go, you say, you're the love of my life. I choose you to stay, to serve you. I choose to be there for you, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. In good times and in the bad times, I make my commitment to you. That's the kind of commitment you must make to Jesus and his church. You say, Jesus, I choose to serve you for the rest of my life. It doesn't matter whether people mock at me. Doesn't matter what somebody says about me. Doesn't matter who says what. What situations bring. I choose to serve you in the vision given to the church. And you pour your life into it. You pour your life into it. Because He is. Yes, because that's what He is. That's what He is. That's what He is. You choose to have Him forever. I don't know how many people I can grow gray with, but I chose this forever. As a pastor, you know, as a soldier, there are going to be some who will disappear. But don't be that fellow that disappears. I know that so well. I'm not naive as a pastor. But I make my decision. I'm going to be serving Jesus. And I'm going to be serving Him here. You know, I had opportunities to pastor other congregations. I did. Other much larger congregations, I did. At that time, I just had few disciples. And I said, I choose you. And you are the love of my life. No, it's fine. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean, sing it with some meaning. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. Oh, you are the love. Sing it quite some more. I wouldn't trade you. Not fair weather, not non-situational, not situational. Oh, I wouldn't trade you. And you are. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you. Yes. Can we let it rise like we mean it, like we say a confession to Him? That's better. That's better. And you are my everything. You are my, yeah. One more time, you are the love. Oh, you are the hope that I cling to. Oh, you mean more this world to me, I wouldn't trade you, wouldn't trade you for silver. For the pleasures of the world, we will not trade you for, we wouldn't trade you. For the appellations of men, for riches, for the goodies of the world, for you are my everything. You mean more than this world to you mean more than this world to me. You mean more than this world. If everybody turns their back on me, I wouldn't turn my back on you. Mean. If everyone looks away from you, not me, not I. Oh, Rabashah. Oh, you mean. They may mock me. They may call me not wise. They may call me, a waste of opportunities. But you mean more than. Wouldn't trade you, Karapashalabra. Oh, yes. Talaba. Ah, Moso, brother, but you mean more than this world. You mean more than this world. I wouldn't trade you. Yes, Kalabrasha. Consecrations, Lord. Oh, I wouldn't trade you, my goodness. Karabashadaba. Can we sing it louder? You mean those words more than. Oh, I wouldn't trade you, my God, for silver. Lord, if I've traded you for silver, this morning I make a consecration to you. Oh, Rabbi, for it is untold. Arabashala prasa talaba. One more time, with hearts open. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. For this life remains yours mightily. You are my every, and you mean You mean more than this world. Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, precious Jesus, sweet Jesus, may we serve you all the rest of our lives. May we stick with you. May we stay with you. May we remain. May we remain. Let nothing sway us off, Lord. And if yet we are yet to make this commitment, we ask and we receive grace. Grace, Lord. 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 May our hearts hunger and yearn after you and your will. Forever, 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 maritally. Oh, staradabala brasha taradabasalos. Shigivala baradabase, stola radagasta. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Maritally. Take your seats shortly. Maritally. Told you to open to Ruth 1:16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. As a work of the Spirit, for the rest of your life, committed to the works of Jesus. Committed to evangelism, committed to discipleship, committed to the things you used to do. Not when situation demands it. You're locked in forever. Let me show you something in 1 Chronicles. I'm telling you that this thing is by the Spirit. Is by the Spirit. It is God's vision to have people committed wholly, fully to Him. This kind of commitment, what we just read, is the commitment between Ruth and Naomi. I'm going to show you another type of commitment that is maritally related. David and his 30 mighty men. Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him and he spoke certain words. We're going to look at those words. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verses 16 to 17. First Chronicles chapter 12, verses 16 to 17. First Chronicles chapter 12, verses 16 to 17. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to behold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasa, who was chief of the captains. So what happened is that they came to him at the cave, and he didn't know whether they were for him or they were against him. If you are for me, then it is good. But if you are against me, be rebuked. And then the Spirit came upon one of them who was 30 amongst them. And look what he said. Verse 18, then the Spirit came upon Amasa, who was chief of the captains, and said, thine are we. Some other version says, we are yours. O David, we are yours. O Jesus, we are yours. Committed, we are yours. We are on your side. We are with you. Not a situational or a fair weather. O David, we are yours. We are yours. Remember, it's the Spirit of God upon him. We are yours. Thine are we, David. And on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. How many of us can say, Jesus, we are yours? Now, peace means success on everything that you wish to accomplish. It means that we are connected to your vision. Whatever it is that you want to do, oh Jesus, we're open. We're yours. Remember, it is the Spirit of God upon that makes men say we are yours. It is supernatural. We're yours. We are yours. We are for you. We stand on your side. Oh, Pastor, we are yours. We are yours. We're going to be by you. The Spirit upon causes this to happen. You said we want to have the entire whole field in the shortest possible time. Pastor, we are here to make it happen because we are yours. Remember, Jesus's leader before his men is the pastor. So the pastor laying out a vision before the people is almost like Jesus giving a vision to the people. How many of us can say, we are here, we're not going anywhere? We're here. We don't have anywhere to go. We are yours. Remember, that's why I showed you that. You say, I think it's heresy. It's not. The Spirit of God causes people to define where they stand. And if we define where we stand for Jesus as we define where we stand. If we say we love Jesus, we can't say we love Jesus, but we don't love his church. And if we say we love his church, we can't say we love his church, but we don't love his leaders. And if we don't love his leaders, if we don't love Jesus, we can't say we love his church. We can't say we don't like the leaders. When we love Jesus, it cannot happen, people of God. To love Jesus is to love his church, is to love his leaders. Are you listening? So we are yours. Jesus, we are yours. Pastor, we are here. What is there to make happen? So we are doing this. In 2 weeks, he said, we're making it happen. We're going to ensure that this thing happens. And then you see them together gravitating to ensure that that vision comes alive. We are yours. It's supernatural. It may be difficult, but we are yours. You know, I've seen how some people have stood by me. And I said, this is so beautiful. People have stood by me. Stood by me. And I'm grateful for all of you. Grateful. Men will go at length to make it happen. Men will sacrifice to make sure that you are fine. Because they see Jesus in what is happening. So your commitment today, you should strive to grow through the different types of commitments to where there is no turning back. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Can the singers come? Yes. 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 It's forever. It's forever.